There is already set in the plan of God a time and place for you and I to die. We must trust Him with this awesome appointment. Even if we know where we're going, death can be a fearful prospect. Today, we'll learn how to leave the timing in the hands of God and then rely on Him to see us through the gate. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our current series on Running to Win is all about what happens 1 minute after you die. In this, his final message, Erwin Lutzer discusses the purposes of God in the death of a Christian, when God opens the curtain for you.
There is a fable sometimes told in the Middle East of a servant who is sent to the marketplace by a merchant. The servant was to run an errand, which he did. But when he was there in the marketplace, as he was coming home, he happened to greet Lady Death. When he saw the startled look on his face, the servant was so overcome by fear that he hurried home and he said to his master, "I saw Lady Death at the marketplace, and she startled me." He said, "Please give me your fastest horse so that I can ride all the way to Sumera tonight." And so the master said, "Go ahead, take my horse and do that." But a little while later, the master actually went to the marketplace himself in the afternoon, and he met Lady Death, and he said, "Why did you startle my servant this morning?" And Lady Death said, "Well, I didn't intend to startle your servant. In fact, it is I who was startled. I couldn't figure out what in the world he was doing in Baghdad this morning when I have an appointment with him in Sumera tonight." One way or another, death will get to us. Death awaits us as the cement floor awaits the falling light bulb. A man by the name of Tom Howard wrote these words about death. He said, "When we are going to die, when we are face to face, we are like a hen before a cobra, incapable of doing anything in the very presence of the thing that seems to call for the most drastic, decisive action. There is, in fact, nothing we can do. Say what we will, dance how we will, and soon enough we will be a ruined heap of feathers and bones, indistinguishable from the rest of the ruins that lie about. It will not appear to matter in the slightest whether we met the enemy with calmness, shrieks, or trumped-up gaiety. There we will be." There we will be. We all have an appointment with death. Whether it's in Chicago or Taipei or some city in Canada or in Europe, we all must die. The fact that we are going to die is as certain as the rising sun. Today's message has to do with the topic of death, but before I get into it, I want to talk a little bit about suicide. We have a great deal of emphasis today on assisted suicide, doctors helping other people die. Here at the Moody Church, we receive phone calls from time to time from people in the city who want to give us the assurance that if they committed suicide, they'd actually go to heaven. We always say to them, first of all, suicide is never a good option. There's always something else that you can do. You should never think that suicide is actually the answer to your predicament. And number two, don't be so overconfident that on the other side, things are going to be better than they are here. Remember Shakespeare, in that sleep of death, what dreams may come when we have shuffled off this mortal coil. For many people who are going through times of agony on earth and they think that the only answer is suicide, they will actually find themselves in a realm that is far worse than this life could ever be. Of course, we've all known Christians who have committed suicide. I've known at least three or four, and I fully expect to see them in heaven. But it is presumptuous to think that somehow we can go to heaven before Jesus Christ calls our name and that that's really the right answer to our predicament and to our problem. And so I say to you today that let us all make sure that it is Jesus Christ who calls our name rather than showing up in heaven before He calls our name. Today I want to speak on the providence of God in the death of a Christian. The providence of God in the death of a Christian. It is actually the seventh in a series of messages on the topic, 1 minute after you die. And I'd like to emphasize the fact that we as believers must realize that our lives are actually in the hand of God, not the hands of men. All of you remember the story of Scott and Janet Willis, whose van hit that metal back in 1994, and as a result, 6 of their 9 children were killed in the burning vehicle. You remember how when the van erupted in flames, Scott said to his wife, "This is a moment for which we are prepared." And we've had them here at the Moody Church, and they have told our story. Frequently, I have thought about that, as you have, and you've probably heard me say that this is surely an example in which the doctrine of God's providence is tested, but after it is tested, it comes out giving us the assurance that those children died within the will of God. Let us say it boldly. Of course, as we think about all of the if-onlys connected with the event, we could make a list of them very, very easily, couldn't we? If only that piece of metal had slithered into the ditch rather than onto the face of the coming van. Or let us suppose also that something else might have happened, such as the van starting out a minute later or a minute earlier. Or the Willis family could have started out a minute earlier or a minute later, and they'd have been in a different place in the highway. What if Scott, when he saw that piece of metal, rather than running over it and allowing it to go in the middle of the van, between the wheels, what if he had decided to run over it with the tires? Perhaps an accident would not have happened, but would have happened, I should say, but as a result, perhaps all of them would have lived. We can take all of those if-onlys, and we need to understand that behind those if-onlys is God. You've heard me refer to Martha and Mary. Remember, Jesus is coming to Jerusalem after Lazarus dies. And Martha runs out and she meets Jesus and said, "If you had been here, my brother had not died." And a few moments later, Mary runs out of the house and says the very same words, "If only you had been here, my brother had not died." If. Let me ask you, have you ever attended a funeral where there are not at least a few if-onlys? If only we had seen the lump earlier. If only we had gone to the doctor earlier. If only there had been surgery. If only there had not been surgery. If only we had been able in a position where there was no ice on the highway. If. Well, I want you to know today that you need to take those if-onlys and draw that large circle around them. And within the circle, we simply write the words, "The providence of God." The providence of God. I think of all of the guilt that some people have experienced that God did not want them to experience. I think of a woman whom we knew as a family who for 14 years, every single morning, went to her husband's grave bemoaning the fact that she had convinced him to go to a concert that he didn't want to go to, and when they went out that evening, they were in a car crash and he was killed. Taking upon herself the guilt of that experience, blaming herself and thinking to herself, "If only I had not asked him to go that evening." It's foolishness. All of us have asked our mates to go places where they didn't want to go. We could have had an accident. That is false guilt. Let us simply recognize that a believer is in the will and the purposes and the plans of God, and not subject to the vicissitudes of fate. Let's take our Bibles and let us look at the life of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ's life represents one of the best examples of someone who was able to endure all of the experiences of death and to do so with an understanding that it had come from his heavenly Father. Take your Bibles and turn, if you would please, to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. And we shall pick it up in a moment at verse 37. Luke 22:36. Jesus is thinking about Gethsemane, and he's also thinking about the fact that soon he is going to die. Verse 36, "But now let him who has a purse take it along, likewise also a bag, and let him who has no sword sell his robe and buy one. For I tell you that this which is written must be fulfilled in me." And he was classified among the criminals. "For that which refers to me has its fulfillment." I like the words of the King James where it says, "The things concerning me have an end." Jesus didn't say the things that concern me are coming to an end, but rather they have a purpose. As this translation says, they have fulfillment. There's a purpose in all that is going to happen, and it is going to happen according to God's time and God's way. What I'd like to do in the next few moments is to give you five assurances with which Jesus was able to die. Five assurances. And if you belong to Jesus, I believe that we can have the very same assurances today. First of all, Jesus died with the right attitude. He died with the right attitude. By that I mean he knew that he was on his way to the Father. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand and that he was come from God and that he was going to God, he knew that at the end of the day, after he had died on the cross, he would be home with the Father. So he approached death with the right attitude of a mixture of apprehension, of sorrow, but also of joy. Look at the text here in Luke chapter 22 as we've asked you to turn to it. Jesus is saying in Gethsemane, verse 44, it says, "And being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down from the ground." Now, you have to understand that Jesus went through that because, remember, he was bearing the sin of the world. He would become legally of all the sins that you and I had committed. And because he was totally pure, the identification with sin overcame him. And he was in great agony, knowing that he would even be separated from fellowship with the Father for a few moments. And it is this that caused the great agony even unto death. But he reminds us that it's okay to grieve when you know you're going to die. It's okay to sorrow. There's that part of us that does not want to leave our friends behind. There is mystery on the other side of the grave. It's okay to weep. As a matter of fact, the scripture says that we should sorrow, but not as those who have no hope, but sorrow, that is a part of the human predicament. And death is an enemy, even though it is the last enemy that is going to be destroyed. It is still an enemy, and we must keep that in mind. Yes, my friend, we must keep that in mind. This is Pastor Lutzer, and I'm continuing this series talking about God opening the curtain and the need that we have to believe on Jesus Christ that we might be saved and be with Him forever. Today I want to encourage you because eternity most assuredly is coming, but also I need to say for those of you who've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I try to describe in this message the death of Christ for us as sinners. Would you believe on Him? Would you trust Him? Because Jesus Christ is qualified to take us all the way to the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Receive Him as your very own today.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Dr. Erwin Lutzer has brought part one of When God Opens the Curtain for You, the last in his seven-part series, 1 Minute After You Die. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church. This series can be yours on CD, cassette, or MP3, or as a full-length book. For complete information, call toll-free 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. For a great adventure, join Dr. Lutzer in the steps of Luther and the Reformers this June in Europe. For information, go to our website at runningtowin.org or call 1-888-771-8717. Don't forget, this broadcast is supported by listeners like you. This is Dave McAllister. Tomorrow, tune in for more about dying grace. And don't miss our next Running to Win.